Blog Talk Radio.
So very faithless and perverse generation. Can you say faithless and what else? What makes a man get perverted without faith? What's perverted our Christianity? Faithless.
Don't say that, profess that God has given you power, love, and a sound mind, and your mind is not sound. You don't have power to overcome your present situation and circumstances.
Now, the devil is always pushing. You can recognize the demons working because they always push to impetuous, immediate action. Don't think, do. And the devil says, if you don't do it now, you'll miss the opportunity. If you don't move now, if you don't sell now, if you don't jump now, it'll be gone.
And the kingdom of God is best expressed by authority and power to cast out devils.
Listen, dear friends, don't forget that little word he said, seek ye first. Come on, that's the secret right there, seek ye first. Seek ye first. Oh, I tell you, the average person said, seek me first. That's it, seek me first. Put me first.
Well, anyone who opposes the kingdom of God and the casting out of devils. Because when we're of God's kingdom, our sole purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. Our sole purpose is to cast down Satan's kingdom.
I can tell you whether you won souls or not, whether you get your prayers answered, whether you're happy or not, whether you got a happy home or not, whether you work killing in the church or not. I can tell you, if you log your time and let me see how you start your day out, if you grab a cup of coffee and a newspaper and sit down for an hour and let the Bible go begging, brother, you're mixed up in worldliness.
The Word of God said, we're going over to the other side. And in the midst of the Word of God saying, we are going over to the other side, the enemy showed up in the storm. And the first thing that the enemy did was challenge those who walk with Christ. Those who eat with Him and slept with Him and saw the miracle, the signs and the wonders done by Him. The first thing that the enemy did was steal the Word that they heard right out of their hearts and then allow doubt to rise up on the inside of them. And instead of believing what the Word of God said, they said, Lord, we perish.
Reading the Word that's going to give you faith, that isn't what He's talking about. It isn't just hearing the Word that's going to give you faith. You've got to open your spiritual ear or eye as you hear or read the Word and appropriate by faith. Make it yours.
That'll sober you up. That ought to melt your silly heart. I'm not interested in your feelings and your little silly sentimentality. I'm wondering about your love for Christ and compassion for others. Do you care? I'm asking you one question tonight. Do you love Jesus or do you love this stinking world?
But God wants us to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Deceiving ourselves. How many folks are deceived every single week? Going to hear what they call the Word, and it never once emboldens them or give them a desire or a passion to do the works of Christ.
We want just a bunch of sickly sentimentality, and we want to just fix up sort of a hiding place and a loophole for sinners to say, well, if that old cuss made it in, I can make it in myself.
The kingdom is within you, and the only kingdom that this world is going to understand until the King comes is what they see in us. Because now we are the only creatures that have the ability to walk in darkness and to walk in light.
How God's people go!
Hey, shalom, 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 Israel, saints of the Most High. Please let me know if you can hear me. I've never used this Polycom thing, so I don't know if it's coming in or not. Hallelujah. Oh, good. Okay, thank you. Appreciate y'all. Good to see you in the room, Brother Steve, Sister Wonder, Brother Ugly, Brother Samuel and family. Brother Jeff and Sister Anna, hallelujah. Those that are listening by phone, good to have y'all tonight. Ah, yeah, glory to the King. I hope everybody's doing well. I sincerely do. It's been spoken time and time again that, we're in a season, as we coined the term dead season, that I've never seen to this degree ever since I've been in the ministry. It's been 19 plus years now, so... hey, devil's not playing, but neither is Yah. So this is for souls, and I really hope that people are, taking a serious look at what's going on, not to become a casualty. Pastor did a Marco Polo video for you that are on Marco Polo, and seeing he actually listed. Four people off that, we're not supposed to be contacting, dealing with anymore, because they're just out there justifying themselves on Facebook and such. And, of course, I don't even know what that is because I haven't been on Facebook. But, it is an alarming rate. But anyway, and, the Most High is actually preparing us to go a little higher. You can see it in the messages. I mean... priceless, the word that our shepherd's putting out there for us in spiritual warfare and preparing our hearts and for getting clean. I mean, we are definitely a ministry that is absolutely blessed, whom the Yah continues to bless, but also probably one of the greatest levels of accountability that just about any ministry on the face of this planet, because we have been given so much. So God's taken away every excuse, and so that's kind of what led me to do this blog talk tonight, this study, this short study. It's just, I entitled it The Straight Way, and, for obvious reasons, because it is the straight way. There is no variableness in it. It's one-directional, and, those that stay in the way, the straight way, I believe we'll see the kingdom. In fact, I know they'll see the kingdom. But glory to the King. This whole thing is new, this what you call it, blog talk. I haven't been on since before Tabernacles. It's been that long. Ran into different situations and had a little mix-up in scheduling. Last time I was supposed to be on, hey, glory to the King, I'm on tonight. So anyway, with that, we're going to get started. Again, appreciate it, Brother Ugly, for, keeping the saints, with the posting, the verses and the definitions and whatever else, so people can keep up. But anyway, I hope you all enjoy this study. All right. Again, this is called The Straight, Space Way. But I was also going to call it trials and gates and a lot of other things. But hey, glory to the King, it all works and it all makes sense. But anyway, we're going to start, get going on to this. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. I'll give you a second to get there. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. In the words of Yeshua, HaMashiach, our Savior, our soon coming King. And this is admonition to the apostles that were with him, to the people that are standing about. And he's actually making something, always his words carry great weight. They did carry great weight. I mean, absolutely carry weight and pure instruction. But he says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." So this is the admonition he's given to those listening. "For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." And destruction is misery in hell. That's where it is. "And many there be which go in thereat," talking about the broad way. Verse 14, "Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and a few that be that find it." Now, there's a lot of belief out there that the gate comes first and then the way. Well, actually, I don't agree. I believe the way comes first and then the final destination. However you conducted your path in your life and chose to walk in whatever way it was, that's the gate that you'll be going through. And we'll show you that in more detail here. So I mean, I've read stuff and looked at other people's ideas about stuff, and they always put the gate first, but no, that's not the way it works. It's the way is there to get, to strive, to get to the that gate and be allowed by the one that's the porter of the gate of the door, Yeshua, to actually enter therein. So the word straight is the Greek 4728. This is in the Strong's. It's the Greek stenos, and it just means narrow. And they got it in parentheses from obstacle standing close about or straight. And the word gate, which is the Greek 4439, in the Thayer this time instead of Strong, the Thayer definition. And it means, just what it says, it's a gate, the largest sort in the wall of either a city, a palace, a town, you know, talking about in the form of a noun, the temple, a prison, the gates of hell, and metaphorically to the access or entrance into any state, which I think is very befitting and lends the best definition to either the broad gate or the straight gate. So it's an access or entrance into any state. All right, going to the book of Luke again, and pretty much rereading it, how it was written, the book of Luke, but Luke chapter 13, verses 23 through 27. Luke 13, 23 through 27. Again, breaking down what the straight gate is and the wide gate. All right. Then said one unto him, Master, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, so this is Peter asking, if you know the entirety of the chapter, this is Shimon Kephala asking Yeshua, asking the Master, are there few that be saved? Because after walking with Jesus, after seeing the sermons that he preached, after watching how people, even after the sick were healed in it, and how people still came against the word of truth, and you know, Peter and all the other apostles are obviously seeing the reaction of the people, the hatred for the Most High as he was in flesh on this earth, and they actually can grasp the gravity of the situation. So you have Peter asking, Master, are there few to be saved? And he said unto them, you strive to enter in at the straight gate. It's not a cakewalk, it's not a sachet, it's striving. And we're going to look behind that word here in a minute. For many, I say, and you will seek to enter in and shall not be able. What? Enter in to one of the gates to see what goes, the straight gate. They can seek to enter in and they aren't going to be able. Well, why not? We're going to find out. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Master, Master, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. And that's the reason, because they tried to come through the broad gate and enter into the straight gate. Then shall you begin to say, okay, so now they're going to put up a plea and put up a case, because they're acting as thieves and robbers, trying to get in their other way. You know, whatever that is they held onto in life that was part of the broad way, and trying to bring it into the straight and narrow way, ain't going to fly. So now they're trying to adjust it, and these obviously are people that are in the faith or claim the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Then shall he begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, thou hast taught in our streets. Just like we do here, right? We teach all the time. It goes out in the streets, out in the worlds, out in the avenues, you know, across the oceans. These people have heard the teachings and the preachings and the direction of the Master Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus our Savior. But he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. So the ones that are in the broad way are the workers of iniquity. The word strive is the Greek 75. And this is from the Thayer, and it means a gaze or nevel. Okay, I'm not even going to go there because it's a big old long thing. When Brother Ugly posted up, you can see it. But it's to enter a contest, contend in gymnastics games, to contend with adversities, to fight. Metaphorically, to contend, to struggle with difficulties and dangers to endeavor with strenuous zeal, strive to obtain something. I mean, there's a prize on the end, and it's going to take a great effort to obtain that prize to actually enter into the straight gate. And the word strive, in the Greek, we have the word agonize. That comes from this Greek word. As you can see, it's up on the board now. Agonizimi. But anyway, so what it comes down to is it's going to be great agony to actually be able to be accounted and worthy to have the straight gate opened unto you and say, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. That's what it's going to take. And I think the reason that, I was led kind of even to talk about this tonight is because, again, so many people have stopped striving. You know, it's a striving against flesh. It's against striving against the old nature. It's against striving against all the demonic spirits. You know, what people don't understand, now the ministry is obviously growing. Our name is getting out there through bad publicity, good publicity, whatever the case, but straightway the name is becoming definitely, it will become worldwide. In fact, it already has, but more so, presence here in the United States and North America. But as it gets out there and we have more haters and more detractors, their onslaught against us is going to be greater. So, even in 2 Thessalonians, there's going to be a great falling away. Now, we have all these things being told us and being, but nobody thinks it's them. You know, these four former members, former brothers at Straightway, do you think one of them at all would consider a fact that they've actually fallen away? I mean, I got a Marco Polo from a brother up in Minnesota, and he said that he spoke to this one of the brothers, former brothers that fell away, right? And he told me that this brother said that, we're not following Torah because we think we're the only mystery. You know, this is pastor's ministry, and it's the only way we can get to the kingdom, right? And also, he called pastor arrogant. Well, I know for a fact, having known this brother for a while, he's got a really feminine spirit, and that's the way they see somebody that's actually bold and confident. So, all these little things, they didn't strive to enter. Once they got bitten of the viper, got bitten of the serpent, broad is the way. I mean, there's no fruit of edification or righteousness there at all. You don't leave something that's right. You have to find something wrong with it in order to justify you turning your back and going and falling away. That's the way it's always been and will continue to be that way. So what we have here again, Jesus is admonishing the apostles and those that are listening, you need to agonize to enter at the straight gate. This is going to be a war of wars. Yeah, you're right, Brother Ugly. It sure does. Yeah, effeminate spirits. All right, 2 Esdras in the Apocrypha. 2 Esdras chapter 7, verses 1 through 25. 2 Esdras chapter 7, verses 1 through 25. And when I had made an end of speaking these words, there was sent unto me the angel which had been sent unto me the nights before. Now this is Esdras recounting what happened to him. And he said unto me, up, Esdras, and hear the words that I have come to tell thee. So he's getting Esdras' attention. He wants to get him up so he can get his full attention about, because what he's about to tell him is very, very important. And if you read the entire of the chapter, Esdras actually had inquired in the chapter before that, so now this is the answer. And I said, speak on, my Yahweh. Then said he unto me, the sea is set in a wide place that it might be deep and great. So he's going to present to Esdras a picture, something that Esdras can actually grasp onto, right? Something he can actually take hold of and envision in his mind. The sea is set in a wide place that it might be deep and great. But if the case, the entrance were narrow like a river, who then could go into the sea to look upon it and to rule it? If he went not through the narrow, how could he come into the broad? So, the messenger, the angel, is actually putting it out there for Esdras, and he's putting some thoughts in his mind and trying to get him to think. about what it's going to take for the righteous to actually enter into the kingdom of heaven. And he's telling them this is the way that those that are righteous and striving for holiness need to go. Okay, so he said there's this broad thing set out there, this big thing, but you're going to have to go through the narrow way to actually to inherit the broad way, or the thing, the good thing that's on the other side of the broad or in the narrow way. This, there is also another thing. A city is, so he's going to give another example, another demonstration to help fortify the thought that he's presenting to for Esdras. A city is built and set upon a broad field and is full of all good things. So again, he's painting a picture. There's really great stuff here. I mean, it's a beautiful city. It's got all the best that could offer for mankind. There is also another thing, okay, and is full of good things. The entrance thereof is narrow and is set in a dangerous place to fall, like as if there were a fire on the right hand and on the left a deep water, and only one path between them both, even between the fire and the water, so small that there could but one man go there at once, or meaning just one at a time. There isn't no holding hands. This is a personal to the person when you're on this narrow way. And so, again, the angel is telling, this is what it's going to take to actually inherit the things that are beyond the narrow way, if you provided you get through the narrow way. And it's going to have dangers. There's things set in place that if you venture off one way or the other, there's hazards. So it's going to take an incredible amount of focus, an incredible amount of seriousness, and determination and discipline to actually get what's beyond the narrow way into the broad. And only one path between them both, even between the fire and water, okay? And if this city now were given unto a man for an inheritance, if he never shall pass the danger set before it, how shall he receive his inheritance? So it's going to take something to actually earn the right to receive what's on the other side of the narrow way. It's not a turning back. It's not a dropping off. It's not taking five. None of this works. And I said, it is so, Master. Then said he unto me, even so also is Israel's portion. Talking to those that say they are Israel. This is what Israel has to do or has to expect in order to get the prize that's on the end of the narrow way, going through the gate to inherit what's beyond. Because for their sakes I made the world, and when Adam transgressed my statutes, then were decreed that now is done. Then was decreed that now is done. Then were the entrances of this world made narrow, because we had full access in the time before Adam's transgression. There was nothing to strive to get back to. It was fully open and available. Then were the entrances of this world made narrow, full of sorrow and travail. These are the things that we have to expect and be prepared for to actually get to this place. They are but few and evil, full of perils and vain, very painful. So the angel messenger is laying it out here for Esdras. This is the expectation of what it's going to take. Now that because of sin, it's going to be having to get rid of the sin to enter back into the broad way that was before Adam and Eve when Yah created this place before the time of sin, that same type of paradise. For the entrances of the elder world were wide and sure and brought immortal fruits. Of course, the elder world being the former world before sin. If then they that live labor not to enter these straight and vain things. Now, the understanding of the word vain there, I'm not exactly sure. The only thing I can liken that to is what I'm going to talk about a little bit in Isaiah, is that, the foolish will be the ones that will be seeking the highway of holiness, and we'll deal with that. But if then they that live labor not to enter these straight and vain things, they can never receive those that are laid up for them. So this isn't Christianity. We know that. It's going to take a full out of commitments to get rid of sin, to get rid of wickedness, to turn closer to Yah with a pure heart, with a close heart, to be clean. Now therefore, why disquietest thou thyself, seeing thou art but a corruptible man? And why art thou moved, whereas thou art but mortal? Why hast thou not considered in thy mind this thing that is to come, rather than that which is present? So he's trying to take Esdras, his frame of mind at that time, because Esdras is only focusing on what was happening around him at that time. He didn't have no vision or real thought to look ahead, because there was a lot of trouble and things going on. If you read the book of Ezra, as he's describing, he's trying to get an understanding of why there's so much stuff going on, why there has to be so much chaos and everything else, and now the messenger is breaking it down. Then answered I, said, O master, O Yah, that bearest rule, thou hast ordained in thy law that the righteous should inherit these things, but that the ungodly should perish. Nevertheless, the righteous shall suffer straight things and hope for the wide. Meaning while they're going through the straight way, they're going to suffer those things required to get to the gate and enter into the city. And hope for the wide, for they that have done wickedly have suffered the straight things and yet shall not see the wide. So when Jesus said, depart from me, you work these iniquities, these are the people that he's talking about. These are the wicked. No, they're considered wicked that were allowed to actually be partakers of the suffering of the narrow way that took to get there. But again, as Yahshua said, depart from you, workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Here in Ezra's too, he's getting the same feedback. It's the same line of thought that you shall not see the wide or the thing that is the good thing, the wide thing or the broad thing that lies beyond the narrow gate, the inheritance. And he said unto me, there is no judge above Yahweh, none that hath understanding above the highest. Glory to the King, that is the truth. For there be many that perish in this life. Why? Why do they perish? Because they despise the Torah of Yah that is set before them, and they chose the broad way. That's automatic. You despise Yah's ways, you've already placed your feet back on the broad way. You automatically take yourself off the narrow course, and you are in the broad way. For Yah hath given straight commandment to such as came, what they should do to live, even as they came, and what they should observe to avoid punishment. So again, it's all been laid out there. We know what's right, what's wrong. Choose life, not death. Nevertheless, they were not obedient unto him, but spake against him and imagined vain things. We got people out there now all through this dead season. Now they're putting their mouths on straightway. They're putting it on the ministry, and of course, Pastor Dahl, above all people, is getting this barrage of these curses and this wicked speech from those because they couldn't survive because they didn't have the focus and determination to turn from their sin. They fell from the narrow way. They'll never see the straight gate. Well, I can't say that, but the probability that they won't because of the offense that... And, I mean, Teacher Shane, right soon after the... Tabernacles. I mean, the first message you put out there was on offenses, and everybody that leaves this ministry, whether they believe they're still part of Israel or not, because it is ultimately because of an offense. They find something that is not agreeable to them because they base it off their own terms, off their own thought, off their own logic, and because it doesn't work for them, then they have to get offended, justify themselves, and go away. I mean, and also the other thing that y'all need to be really on the lookout is that, it says that, Yahshua made it a point that if it were possible to see the very elect, are we in the very dark times? No, but we're actually getting a taste of them now, and a lot of it's coming out with these false doctrines. And what they're doing is they're taking these doctrines and they're basing in, they have to use the word to get some credibility to it at all, at least to get some substance and footing. And they're going to break it down, show it. But that's why we are grateful that we have a multitude of counselors because there's safety in that, and then we have the Ruach HaKodesh, Yah's spirit in us to tell us the difference, rightly dividing the word of truth and discerning that which is evil and that which is good. But his law have they despised and denied his covenants. Oh boy, you never deny Yah's covenants. That's when you turn your back on what you promised you would do when he rebirthed you in the beginning. In his statutes have they not been faithful and not performed his works. And therefore, Ezra's, for the empty are empty things, and the full are full things. Hallelujah. All right, Isaiah chapter 35. And we're going to go to starting verses 8 through 10. Isaiah 35, verses 8 through 10. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, because remember, the world has a particular way that they look at us, because we're sacrificing everything. We're turning our backs on everything that we had from our former lives, and they consider us fools. I mean, that's the only, what I had my younger brother say, oh, you put all your eggs in one basket? You know, you're all going to lose the basket? Some crazy crap like that. That was, you know, 20-some years ago, but... You know, that's the way they see us. And people, you know, they become part members of they become part of the community, part of the ministry. You know, the heathen out there count us as fools, but Yah knows better. We know better. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. Err when they're on the way of holiness, because it's a way of holiness. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereupon. It shall be not found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of Yahweh shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and Zion, shall flee away. But these are only for those that are going to stay on that way. It's when you get off the way because of sin is when you're going to fall prey to the beast and, you know, the demonic beast and demonic, you know, Satan goes about as a roaring lion. But as long as you stay in the way, stay in the spirit, he can't touch you. Psalm 142, 1 through 7. Psalm 142, 1 through 7. This is a prayer of Dawid when he was in the cave. I cried unto Yahweh with my voice. With my voice unto Yahweh did I make a supplication. He didn't whisper. He didn't give this, you know, this little Christian, you know, false humility speech. He cried. He had determination that he wanted Yah to hear him, to hear his supplication. And if he had to yell louder and louder to break through any type of ceiling was there, David was bound and determined because he knew the one that could save him. Verse 2. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed him my trouble. You know, the word complaint here means anxiety, trouble. So I poured out my anxiety, everything that I had going on in my life, the battles, the things that were raging against me, the doubts in my mind about, you know, doubts that had arisen that this is right anymore, that this is right anymore, that, you know, this is the truth or that's the truth. You know, all the stuff, the enemy of confusion comes in and tries to overwhelm the mind of people that spend too much time analyzing things and trying to make sense out of things out of their, you know, of their own volition. When my spirit was overwhelmed with me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I have walked, have they privily laid a snare for me? Well, that's what they're going to do, right? Try to get you off the path, especially those that are say that they are of Israel. They're the ones you have to be the most careful for. Yeah, you're supposed to love your brother, but be careful because we found out after the fact, the simple fact of the viper is that people receive other people, you know, one saint receive another saint because they believe that they're still, you know, they can still be trusted. No, don't work that way. But when David said, when my spirit was overwhelmed me, he was reminding Yah that you still knew what my path, where I was, my determined to walk, where my focus was. And, you know, things have happened to me that have tried to get me to detour from the way that you laid before me, the right way. Oh, I got my notes here that overwhelmed, when my spirit was overwhelmed, when it was languishing, when it was faint, when it was growing weak, when I was feeble and seemingly helpless, thou knowest my path. It came down like such a flood. Now, who hadn't been in that state before? Who hasn't experienced that? I'll tell you, if you haven't, I don't know what you're doing differently, but all I know is that if you're really pressing hard and to enter into the righteousness of the Most High and to get pure, it's going to come, and it will come, because Yah knows you're determined to get clean. He can help you get there. And I looked on my right hand, beheld, and there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. So everywhere he was turning, that there was nothing to bank on, to to get strength from. No man cared for my soul. No one cared. No one gave regard to the state that he was in. No one reassured him. No one fasted for him. No one prayed for him. So David knew that his only hope was in the Most High. And again, he said, I cried unto you, Yahweh. To you I cried. And said, thou art my refuge. Now David is redetermining in his mind. He's reassuring himself. He's, re-strengthening himself by repeating, confessing in his mouth that you are the one, Father, my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison. See, David knew what it takes to stay in the narrow way, because he had a goal, he had a determination. He was going to get to that straight gate that he could enter in. Bring my soul out of the prison, that I may praise thy name. Thy righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bounty with me. Not only did he knew his petition to Yah, and he believed that Yah would hear him, but he also knew that because of his determination to stay in this way and to prove his love for Yah, that he was, going to leave all the stuff behind and set his mark towards him, that Yah would, of course, reward him for that and deal bountifully and give an even greater increase. Because David didn't go to man, he trusted in Yah for the care of his soul. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. All right, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us, so all those that we've had before that were written about, that we heard about, those that took what it took and walked the walk and stayed in the narrow way, and that we're actually able to overcome, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience in the race that is set before us. Now, of course, it's been, it's a very, you can turn this into a pretty colorful metaphor and get a kind of an image in your mind that, come on, if you're laden down with all these sins on you and all these things that are weighing you down, well, you can forget the running part of it. You're not going to race anything. If all this stuff will actually bring you a collar or crawler, actually, be the thing that stops you in your tracks, because you can't go on no more. It your legs give out from underneath you, and you got to do what David did. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that's the straight gate. That's the one who's the porter that's there at the door. That's what we need to look, and that should be our hope. Because he gave us an example on this earth that it can be done, so he took excuse away from everybody. Who for the joy that was set before him, that's the broad way, the way that after you enter into the straight gate, that is the blessed way. That is the way that of our inheritance. That's the joy, despising the shame, and set down at the right hand of the throne of Yah. Again, getting the weight of excuses, the weight of logic, the weight of reasoning, the weight of, our natural family, or the weight of our careers and, everything else that we believe we have to accomplish in this world that's outside of the Most High, and the stuff particularly God don't give two shits about. All right, the word weight is the Greek 3591, ogos. The Thayer definition, whatever is prominent, protuberance, bulk, mass, hence a burden, weight, encumbrance. I got my note here, and I'm thinking about it. When you get all this stuff on you and holding you down and you can't walk and you can't do anything, the race is slow. I don't know where I got this thought, but pretty much all this mass you have attached, unless you lose it, there's going to be no choice and no direction but that you're going to end up going through the broad way and the broad gate that leads to misery and hell and trying to hang on to all this stuff. And the word beset, which is the Greek 2139 in the Thayer again, it means skillfully surrounding. So these masses, these things that are skillfully surrounding, that are positioned, it's an entanglement, engulfed in. And then I have it too, the word beset again, the same Greek 2139 in the Strong's. Where in the world did that come? All right. It means in Strong's a derivative, that in a well-standing run, that is a competitor, thwarting a racer in every direction. So these things, these sins, these weights, all the things that we carry with us that we refuse to get rid of and unload ourselves of because we have the ability to do it through Yahshua HaMashiach. This is the stuff that's going to, like I said, it's going to hold back the one that's trying to set, actually trying to run this race. All right, back to Sirach, verse 27, verse 5. I didn't even know I had that in here. I left it in here. Well, I'm going to read it anyway. The book of Ecclesiasticus, chapter 27, verse 5. And it says, "The furnace proveth the potter's vessels. So the trial of man is in his reasoning." So however you determine something to be, that's how you're going to act on. So if you determine to know that Yah is the one that you need to trust in, and your reasoning says that's the only way, that's the way that I have to go, well, that's, you know, is it going to work out for a time of peace or a time of, you know, greater trial because you're in wickedness? So whatever's coming upon you, it's because of how you're reasoning things or actually determining things. All right, we're going to go ahead and take a new ministry break. In case there's anybody new listening, I don't know. But anyway, we'll be right back.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straight Way Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast, as well as the truth, coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell, Jr. That's Charles Dowell, Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G-T-O-N. P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee. And Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell, Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives, so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ, just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Hallelujah, the King is coming. Let me see, okay. Glory to the King. Okay, we're going to hit right back on it again. Going into the book of Acts, chapter 14, verse 21 and 22, Acts 14, 21 and 22. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they began to return again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch and Antioch. So you have the apostles out there going around and they're preaching the good news, the tidings, the good news of Yahshua HaMashiach to these cities, right? And they're teaching many, and they are going to make a statement here. confirming the soul of the disciple and exhorting them to continue in the faith, because they know what it's going to take to endeavor. They're trying to, like I said, confirm, exhorting them. You have to stay strong. You have to be determined. You have to stay focused. That we must, it's not a maybe, it's not a probability, but that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of Yah, through much tribulation. Because everything in the world is going to try to knock us off the way of holiness in this narrow way. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19. 1 Peter 4, 12 through 19. All right. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. I hope I'm coming in. Anyway. But rejoice in so much. Okay, no, don't think it's strange. The stuff is going to come, the trials, the testings, and the place that they're going to hit first is in the mind. Right? That's where they're going to attack your mind. You know, they may come in the physical, but the first thing that receives it is the mind as it starts trying to process this. Okay, thank you all. Just wondered. But don't think it's strange. You know, again, in the book of Acts, they said you are going to enter into much tribulation. You know, that's the deeds of the flesh, the works of the flesh, everything that's trying to undo you and knock you out of the way. Thinking not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened. Yeah, give soberness to it, give attention to it. Face it, because it's coming, because Yah is going to make sure that all the dross is purged out of each and every one that he allows to enter into the gate of the city, or through that straight gate. But rejoice in so much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you will be glad also with exceeding joy. And if you be reproached in the name of Christ, happy are you. How many people have you known in the, you know, and some of the old timers, the old veterans can attest to this too, and even some of y'all out there, is that when people are reproached for the name of Yahshua and for standing up for righteousness and walking in the truth, they can't take it. Break down, go right back, because they can't deal with the shame and embarrassment from family. Well, what are you going to get? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The hell with him. I mean, what's he going to do? Anyway, but if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the glory of his Spirit of glory and of God rested upon you, and on their part is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer, that means needlessly, or in a way that's outside of the way, in the narrow way. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, as an evildoer, as a busybody in other man's matters. That means you're automatically putting yourself back onto the broad way, which leads to destruction. Yet if any man suffers an Israelite, let him not be ashamed. Let him glorify Yah in this behalf. For the time has come that judgment, a pastor just said this at Shabbat service, and it's just the truth. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of Yah, the purging. Of course, the tares are still there, but the thorns are getting plucked up and getting the boot. And you know, Yah said he's going to purge out the rebels from among us. That's not us trying to root up the tares. It's Yah purging out the rebels. And if first begin at us, what shall be the end? The end be of them that obey not the gospel. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? They won't. Jesus got the gate shut. Only he can open and shut it. But when it's shut, ain't nobody going to open it. So there's going to be no appearance. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of Yah commit the keeping of their souls to him, than well doing as unto a faithful creator. Just like David's prayer was, we read in Psalms, man. He committed himself to the keeping of Yah. Alright, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. Again, this all has to be, and this is all centered around keeping yourself on the straight way, or the narrow way, or the righteous way, the way of holiness. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. All the commandments which I have commanded this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go and possess the land which Yahweh swore unto your fathers. You shall observe and do them. And thou shalt remember, what the angel messenger told Esdras too. These people, these ones that said they were Israel, they stopped giving observance and paying attention to the statutes, commandments, the ordinances, and the ways of the Most High. going to possess the land, which is through the narrow gate, and you get to go to the land, which is the broad place where there's all these riches, the inheritance, which you always swear unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which Yahweh the Elohim led thee these 40 years in wilderness to humble thee. Why? To get you prepared to knock enough of these chips off you, to get enough of this dross out, any sin, any wicked ways. So he's actually making it possible by his love for you that you can actually, when you get to the gate, you're going to fit through that narrow thing. You'll actually be able to walk through unhindered. Because if you get to it and you're hindered and your body can't get in there, even turn sideways, well, you already got your answer. You ain't going in. A perfect fit. And thou shalt remember all the way which Yahweh the Elohim led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he's in the business right now through what this dead season is. There's a lot of people's hearts getting tried and they're failing them. And they're going back, looking back. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make known that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yahweh does man live. You know, it's all a matter of trust and priority. It's inherent in man to look to those things which benefit the creature after the created condition, because it's just a pull from the flesh, right? And it demands for fulfillment rather than the fulfillment of the inner spiritual man, which can be renewed day by day, if given the spiritual bread. Well, the natural man cannot be renewed day by day. It's corrupt. Each day it waxes older and older, and then eventually it goes back to the dust of the earth. Only the spiritual man can be rejuvenated every single day and be renewed. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chastises his son, so Yahweh does chastise thee. The trials, the tribulations, everything else that we're a part of. And if there's wicked ways, that's the punishment we're going to get to holding on to these wicked ways. But that's Yah's love. That's whom he loveth, he chastises. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of Yahweh the Elohim to walk in his ways and to fear him. And if you do these things and consider them in your heart, then you keep yourself on the narrow way. Okay, 1 Peter, I'm going to skip a few here because it's... let me see. All right, I'm just going to read the first few verses of this. All right, Psalm chapter 26 is verses 1. No, I'm going to read it all, 1 through 12, because David's trying to, again... give us words of life and what to do and what not to do. So it's definitely worth the time to read it and use it as edification. A Psalm of David. Judge me, O Yahweh, for I have walked in mine integrity. Okay, take a look, Father. I've actually said I'm going to stay on the narrow way. I've been upright. I've been determined that I'm going to keep my feet from going off the path of righteousness and holiness. I'm going to stay there. So go ahead, judge me. I'm assured that you're going to find me innocent. I have trusted also in you, Father. Therefore, I shall not slide to the left or the right. He's going to continue straight forward. Examine me, O Yahweh, and prove me to try my reins and my arms. Now, if there's anything, any residue left in anything that I haven't caught that's been hidden from me, that I'm only deceiving myself, that I'm actually done with this area of sin or whatever, examine me, look at me, and so, you know, show me where I'm lacking, where I'm failing, so I can get more pure for you, because I want to get pure before you. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. So David's being proactive. He's refraining and removing himself from everything that Yah hates. And this is a way to assure himself from staying in that right way and to reach that narrow gate, that straight gate. I have hated the congregation of evildoers. I will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands. I mean, Pastor just talked to me. He did a video on Patreon about natural family members. I mean, that's coming up and surfacing in the forefront again because Yah's trying to tell us something. You leave these wicked family natural members alone, right? Because they're just out there to lure you back in and to corrupt you. No, I do understand, right? Now, that you have to take that in context. Like, again, Pastor used a demonstration that those, there are these mammon out there that we do make friends with. I mean, I've met Brother Scott and Sister Angelica's parents. They've been here. They come here. There's no hiccups, no nothing. They both carry, you know, both the families carry beautiful spirits. They always, every time they're here, they're a benefit. And even though they're not converted in their hearts, they still have a love for their children despite what they're doing, and there's no resistance. And that's what I'm talking about. But you got these other ones trying to pull you away, trying to plant seed, and you sit there and contend with them, trying to win them over. Now you're leaving people alone. They should have left them alone a long time ago. And I will wash my hands in innocency, so I will compass thine altar, O Yahweh, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works, how Yah brought me out, and not how I did it myself, not any other man either. Master, or Yahweh, I have loved the habitation of thy house and place where thine honor dwelleth. So David was determined to stay in the place where he found safety, and he's making it known. I have loved thy habitation. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief and their right hand is full of bribes. And keep me, you know, keep me from the hand of the enemy. Keep me from those that are out for my soul, Father. And I believe that you will do that if I just stay in the way of righteousness. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place, and the congregations will I bless the Most High. All right. Let's see. Let me see. All right, let's go to, First Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. First Peter 1, verses 1 through 9. Peter, an apostle of Yeshua HaMashiach, to the strangers scattered through Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of Yah, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus our Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the Yah and Elohim of our Master, our Savior, Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to inherit an incorruptible, undefiled, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and faith not away reserved in heaven for you. Again, so where is the inheritance? It's on the other side of the door, on the other side of this straight gate that opens up into a broad way that's teeming with life everlasting. Who are kept by the power of Yah through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So these are all things that are just reassures if we stay in the right place. We are kept. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through many temptations, manifold temptations. You know, that's the tool of the devil. He's going to tempt you. That's, you know, part of your proving process. Are you going to stay? Are you going to allow the temptation to conceive and produce sin and take you off of the narrow way back into the broad way that leads to destruction? That the trial of your faith being much more precious of gold that perisheth. And so Peter's trying to show you that there's a price on this you can't even put on the trial that's going to be part of your faith. There's no amount of earthly substance that you can get, because the trial is the thing that is going to make you beautiful before the Most High. Though it be trial with fire, it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Yeshua HaMashiach. Whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. All right, John 16:32-33. Just words of assurance here that Yeshua, that Jesus spoke to the apostles. Again, just words of edification and assurance that, you know, don't be soon shaken. John 16:32-33. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, yet I am not alone, because the Father is within me. These things I have spoken unto you. Everything that Jesus spoke to them the whole time he was with them in the flesh. These things I have spoken to you, that you might that you might have peace or reassurance or knowing that things are going to be fine if you continue in this narrow way and remember the things that I have spoken to you, that you saw demonstrated the power of Yah. In the world you shall have tribulation. You're not going to escape it again. We must go through. It will come. But don't faint. Be of good cheer and I have overcome the world. If that prize is truly in front of you, you will understand that it's part of the purity process. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. 1 John 5, verses 1 through 5. And it's written, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of Yah, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of Yah, when we love Yah and keep his commandments. For this is the love of Yah, that we keep his commands, and his commandments are not grievous. And again, going back to Esdras, he made it clear, the angel messenger made it clear, these the wicked that would not be able to make it through the narrow way because they forsook the commandments, the statutes, the ordinances, and the ways of the Most High. For whatsoever is born of Yah overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of Yah? So, you know, we have a seed in us. That seed that's in the inner man, the spirit man, and that Yah planted his seed in us. And you have to ask yourself, I mean, I've asked myself that plenty of times over the years, that you know, people that for the smallest reasons, I mean, took them out of the way. You know, the smallest offenses took them out of the way because their eye were evil, because of that was work. And you have to, were they actually truly ever converted? Was it a mental ascent that they knew that was something they had to do to get to heaven, but it really wasn't about getting clean? It was just about that they don't want to end up in hell. And you know, you got to ask yourself how many people really had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or when they were reproved of the Holy Spirit, they grieved in such a point that he left, because you know, Yah only can deal with you so much if you're not going to listen. All right, Job chapter 36, 5 through, and we're winding down here, 5 through 16, no, 5 through 18. Job chapter 36, 5 through 18. Behold, Yah is mighty and despiseth not any. He is mighty in strength and wisdom. He preserveth not the life of the wicked, but giveth right to the poor. He withdraweth not his eyes from the righteous, but with kings are they on the throne. Yea, he does establish them forever. They are exalted because Yah put them there. If they be bound in fetters or beholden in cords of affliction, I mean times of depression, misery, trouble, then he showeth them their work and their transgressions that they have exceeded. If because they've gone beyond, they've sinned before the Most High, and Yah is faithful to show them what they got going on when all of a sudden these things come upon them in their life. And all this, again, is designed to either help you to get free of this or to just go in your miserable way right back into the broad way where the flesh can find comfort and try to bring a balance that will never be. He opened also their ear to discipline and commanded that they return from iniquity. That's your problem. You're in transgression. You're in a wicked way. And so here's Yah again, trying to help get Ben back on the narrow way. If they obey and serve him, if they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. But the hypocrites in heart keep up wrath. They cry not when he bindeth them. Now those hypocrites in heart are those that refuse to return to Yah, to repent and ask Yah for the forgiveness of their wicked and sinful ways. You know, people get so prideful and arrogant that when they get to a certain point, you know, there's a spirit in them that actually won't allow them to come before the Most High to try to get themselves clean. They're thinking it's just going to go away, this wicked way, and if they ignore it long enough that, you know, Yah won't see it anymore. It'll be hidden before him. But no, it takes repentance. You have to go back pride coming before destruction. And many of those that have left under offenses, they'll never have the knowledge or the desire when these things most... I wonder how many of these people actually got into battle. We're actually struggling with a lot of things, but because they didn't go to the face of Yah righteously and looking to justify them own selves, that, you know, and in their offense ended up taking them out. Oh, great. Okay, we got a flash flood warning. Oh, well. Hey, Deacon, if you're listening, maybe you want to get a hold of the brothers down there and make sure the stuff is taken out of the creek, okay? I don't know what the creeks look like. I don't know what the flash flood is for, but anyway. Hey, sorry about the distraction, but we have to take care of business. All right. They die in their youth, and their life is among the unclean. He delivered the poor in his affliction and opened their ears in oppression. Even so would he have removed thee out of the strait into a broad place. Where there is no strait, is that which should be set on thy table should be full of fatness. You know, Yah will remove those who are righteous and holy and place them in the land of the living in a broad place where there's fatness and peace and joy. The righteous are removed from the trials and tests of this life when they enter through the strait gate and inherit eternal life. So you're removed out of the strait and placed into the broad place, because you've done that which is required to enter into his glory, and you're going to find in that broad place that table that's full of fatness. But thou hast fulfilled the judgment of the wicked, judgment and justice take hold on thee, because there is wrath where lest he take thee away with his stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver. No amount of begging, crying, being kind of like the same spirit that Esau had when he saw repentance carefully with tears, but nothing. All right, a few more and we're done. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 1 through 9. These are just, you know, some verses of overcoming and things that, you know, that need to keep the forefront of our mind to get to that place when we stand before that gate and it's opened up to us and we get to enter into his glory. Jeremiah 31, 1 through 9. At the same time, saith Yahweh, will I be their Elohim of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith Yahweh. The people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. Then Yahweh hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting, and therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Come on back this way. You're a little bit off the path. Come on back. Come on back. You know, if he's going to take a little bit of an ass whooping, that is his long suffering. Again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and thou shalt go forth in the dance of them that make merry. Now, these are all the inheritance, the promises of those that are going to stay on a righteous way. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria, and the planters shall plant, and shall eat them as common things. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon Mount Ephraim shall cry, arise ye, and let us go up to Zion unto Yahweh Elohim. For thus saith the Most High, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations, publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Yahweh, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coast of the earth, and within the blind and the lame, the women with child, and her that traileth with child together, a great company shall return thither. Then they shall come with weeping and supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, a time of refreshing, wherein through all these labors and these times that wherein they shall not stumble, because prior to that they were stumbling, they were getting messed up, but Yah was their helper because they kept their eyes on him. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. And to wrap this up, Revelation chapter 22, 14 and 16. Revelation 22, 14 and 16. Oh, hallelujah. Man, our brothers are on, man. I'm getting all kinds of texts from Teacher Shane and Brother Scott, and they got all things. Glory to the King, man. Proactive. I love it. Revelation 22, verses 14 and 15. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life. Might have it. Just because that it's necessary to do his commands that they might have, they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter into the gates into the city. For without our dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh the law, these are all the ones that chose the broad way. And ended up, they went through the gate, the only one that was left open, and one that's probably never shut, and will never be shut until everything's cast in the lake with burning fire and brimstone, is that gate, to that broad gate, to the wide gate that leads to that misery and eternal hell. Well, anyway, that's tonight's study. I hope that I was able to somehow bring some word of edification, life and direction, and comfort. You know, who was I talking to? I said, I want you looking on all these people in this room, and you know, everybody in here, they may not be showing or wearing it on their sleeve, so to speak, but everybody in here is in a battle and in a fight for their life. And just because they're not up to telling you everything that's going on doesn't mean that they got some type of inner war going that they arrived yet. So this is trying to help somebody else to see that, you know, because they couldn't understand why, you know, continually they were like always being faced with something. And then, of course, the rest of the conversation got to be more private. But anyway, that was just something that I had said to him. But again, we're in the season now. You know, this ability for people to fall away, you know, it can happen at any point. It doesn't have to be so much, quote, during the dead season, but there's just something, because first that which is natural, that which is spiritual, right? So it just, Satan's even attacking harder. We have the wicked stuff, the wicked holidays and that kind of thing. So, you know, there's more demonic activity going on too during these times of the year. So, hey, be diligent in sending back curses. Do whatever it is that you need to do to stay right before Yah. And protect yourself. You know, whatever, fasting, prayer, you know, strengthening the inner man. And you want to stay light, and you want to stay agile, and, you know, do your cardio, and, you know, your full-time cardio on the narrow way, the right way to that leads to the gate, the straight gate where there's life. Anyway, it was a pleasure having you all. It was my privilege and honor to have you all here with me tonight. Hope you have a blessed week. Again, as always, please keep in, you know, continual prayer and supplication, lifting up our shepherd, lifting up Pastor Corey, the elders, the leadership. I don't think I've ever seen him under attack this much since I've been here. So, you know, you start, you know, dealing with the heads, and especially the shepherd, and there's a real onslaught to get this flock to divide, because Satan hates the fact that you know, this nation is getting built in a righteous way. So anyway, keep prayers up, keep yourself in the love of the Most High, and keep joy and peace in your mind no matter what comes your way. You know, understand that it's Yah. It's his doing. It is marvelous in our sight that we'd actually take, you know, something corrupt and so wicked and actually try to bring it to a place where it's pure enough to stand before him in righteousness. But, hey, bless y'all, family. Passover's coming. Prepare your hearts and minds. You heard Pastor say yesterday that it was a blog talk that, you know, many came and did sit and eat unworthily and drank unworthily, and then it's just showing up now, so don't be fooled. But anyway, yeah, I know I've seen that Saskatchewan. Jesus. Anyway, all right, y'all have a blessed week. Be encouraged. Hey, the King is coming.